Okay, I think we'll go ahead at 7:02. So, well, welcome to our different world here. I will ask the clerk to please take the roll call. Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Kargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Odusi.
Here.
Okay, so I guess we need to make the motion then to allow the meeting to occur by remote audio and video conference. I can get a motion and a second by a trustee.
I'd like to make the motion to allow the meeting to occur by remote audio and video conference.
Second by Rats.
Okay, very good. If I can get a vote on that. Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Kargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Motion passed. Okay, very good. I don't believe we have any citizens' comments that came in, but we do have Helen Kwan on the line with us. So I thought before we go into elected official comments and announcements, we allow Helen, if you're ready and willing, to just give us a little update at this time on your senior reach out task force.
Yeah, hi everybody. I just wanted to bring you up to date since we began, what's it been you guys, about 2 weeks since the emergency declaration?
Yes. Yes, thereabouts.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yes.
So as soon as that declaration happened that day, we went into putting the task force together, as you know, and quickly we were able to accumulate a lot of very eager and helpful volunteers in our community. Working with Pam Mon and Carla Sloan and kind of figuring out how we were going to coordinate. And you guys, hold on, the dog's whining. I got to go to another room. Hold on. So anyway, coordinating with those two to try to determine initially how we would, kind of distribute the responsibility and what services would be provided for which residents, you know, et cetera. We worked that out. And in the meantime, our volunteer base grew quite quickly, and we're now at 125 volunteers. Most of the volunteers have gone through or have submitted a background check, have gotten their vests and are ready to go. So that's working out really well. And in the meantime, we've started to get calls, and the way it's been working out is the calls go into senior services, and then they're, now I'm out of breath, sorry, because I ran all the way upstairs, okay? Anyway, the calls go into the senior services call line, and then the intake people, if they immediately recognize it's something that's appropriate for the task force, then they send me an email. As soon as they get the email, and on the email it has the information from the senior that's in need or inquiring, I'll contact the senior, and that's how the process starts. Then I'll assess what their needs are, and then I'll go ahead and assign a volunteer. And the way I've been assigning the volunteers is I've been trying to get someone who's on their block or someone very close to the location of the senior. So that process seems to be working out really well. I know there's people out there who think that I haven't contacted them yet, but it's only because it hasn't been, I haven't had the need to call all the volunteers yet. So I think that process is working really well. It's still, I would say, in the beginning phases. I think that as we move along here, I can already feel the concern and the worry starting to grow with the seniors, and I anticipate getting quite a bit busier as the next few weeks come along. So that part is working well, and I'm going to stop right there if you guys have any questions on that.
Yeah, Helen, this is Erica. What kind of services are seniors asking for, and about how many people have called in, if you have a sense?
Yeah, so I would, overall, the seniors are definitely looking for grocery shopping, and pharmacy pickup. That's where we are right now. And I would say that right now I've probably activated as of today, volunteer-wise, and it could be the same volunteer going back to that person's house, because what I've done is if they've gone to someone's home, I try to establish that relationship between the volunteer and the senior so that if the call comes in the next day for something, I will typically send that same person who has a relationship with them. Now, if they're not available, then I would just move on to someone else. But it seems to be that the senior likes that, knowing that they know who the person is that's coming over again. So I'd say we probably had inquiries. I would say we probably had 15 to 20 inquiries, and I've probably sent out back and forth around 12 tasks, I would say, thus far, which really, compared to the number of volunteers we have, is a small portion. But like I said, I think as we kind of get through the sort of the clumsy part in the beginning here and figure out how we're coordinating services, and when the seniors start feeling, you know, more stuck at home and realizing we're in this for the long haul, I really anticipate that call number to go up.
Helen, I have a question, if it's good.
Yeah.
This is Russ. Helen, are you getting any inquiries from disabled residents? Even though I know it's this program is for, labeled as seniors, but are you getting any requests from disabled individual residents?
I would say that I haven't gotten any calls for anybody under 60 that's disabled. So I answered in the beginning like two calls that were when I went to the woman's house, she had a stroke. So she herself was disabled, but not anybody that's under the senior age. But I want to make clear that obviously if someone were to call in, that we would certainly help accommodate any of our residents that are in need.
Thank you, Helen.
Helen, this is Kathy. I don't know, you can't see this, but this just probably got into the residents' mailbox within this past weekend for sure. It may be Monday. I don't know if all of you seen this postcard, but it was mailed to everyone in River Forest. Again, U.S. Mail, I know, is somewhat sporadic these days, but I'm going to guess once I think people hear about the being elongated now, the stay at home, looking at this postcard, I think you're right. I think people are going to begin to start calling for some help.
And Kathy, yeah. I just received my postcard today.
Okay, very good.
Oh, okay.
Did everybody else receive?
I have not yet.
You have not. Anybody else?
Saturday.
Okay.
Saturday.
Not a senior yet.
Saturday. Yeah, it's not to seniors. It went to everybody.
Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah, I got it at home yesterday and at my business PO box on Saturday.
Okay. All right. Well, good. So it's getting to everyone, which is good.
It's getting to everyone. I think that those two things happening at once, for them getting with the people that are additional people that are getting the postcard, as well as the grim news that we continue to experience every day, and the what we're looking at in the future, which is really just seems as if we're going to be in it for a while. I'm definitely hearing in the voices of the seniors as well as other people that this will be something that they're going to be activating for sure more.
Hey, Helen, my wife Cheryl saw something on Facebook. I think they're doing it in Elmhurst, where seniors are given instruction paper of red, yellow, and green. And so if there's a problem, they can just put the red one out, notify their neighbors. Is that something we could implement?
Yeah. Katie, can you talk about that?
Oh, wait, have I unmuted? You guys can hear me, right?
Yes.
I unmuted. I had heard about that maybe about 10 days ago, and Helen and I talked about it a couple days ago. And what we discussed was the possibility that if we looked at our list of 125 volunteers, and if we looked at the map of River Forest that all of us who run for office have seen as we had to deliver hang tags and the like, and we try to match up, either we match up our volunteers to cover the map of River Forest, or we have, you know, smaller subsets, almost someone on each block who's almost like a block captain, and they coordinate, you know, going around the block twice a day and just making sure that there's no, you know, yellow or red signs up and all the green cards are up. So that is a possibility that we talked about. And I don't think it's gotten any further than that discussion that we've had. Is that right, Helen?
Right. That was where we discussed it, and we haven't talked about it since then. But
what kind of resources do you think you need, Helen or Katie, I mean, as you think through this, that idea?
You know, I think, honestly, you guys, I mean, I know that you know this, but, I mean, we have such a great community, right. And I find that, like, just with dialing my phone, I'm able to access resources, both, you know, people and materials. And Officer Ransom has just been super available and connected, you know, with anything that we need. So if we were to go to that card system, Tom, I don't know if they talked about whether the police are monitoring that signage or what.
Right. She just told me about the system. I didn't okay. get more detail. I mean, I can look around and get an answer to you, but I didn't get any more detail from her than that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You know, one of the
hey,
things
Lisa?
That occurred
to me,
Hello?
Lisa, Lisa, aren't you living in Elmhurst? Have you heard of anything?
I do live in Elmhurst. I have not heard of that. I was trying to look it up in any of the newsletters I've gotten. I'll see if I can find it and forward it along.
I don't know if it's limited to seniors. In the municipality I'd heard about was in the Boston area, and I don't know if it was just limited to seniors or not.
Okay. All right. Well, I think good thoughts, good suggestions.
I do want to bring up something that just because I've had many, many years of, you know, case management and working in geriatrics in my past life, you know, as a social worker. But one of the things that when I call the seniors, I do spend time talking to them on the phone, partly because I really enjoy it. Secondly, because it gives you a lot of information. But, for example, like I have been in communication with a very elderly a woman on Lake Street, and I've talked to her probably every day almost because she keeps calling thinking maybe today she'll order groceries, but maybe not. And then, you know, she just likes to talk on the phone. But at any rate, I thought, here's somebody who's quite elderly, and she was telling me at one point she wasn't feeling well, and I'm wondering, you know, I've got to check with the senior service and make sure that we have a way to check on people.
Yeah.
Because if someone were to become quite ill and unable to access, you know, 911 or have the ability to do that, that's a concern of mine, people living alone.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and Helen, so, I think it brings to light the reminder for all of us to do those check-ins with our neighbors and family and maybe, you know, seniors that we have in our lives, because we don't know what we don't know. And so this is definitely that time to be making those check-ins every once in a while.
Yeah,
and I think that's something that we can work on too. And I'll talk more with senior services, what they're doing as far as well checks are concerned, because that's something I want to take a look at to make sure that our seniors that are living alone are being checked on. I had done a delivery of a pharmacy item to the woman that had the stroke, and she must have been in her probably 90, but with a walker and everything. So, you know, if something were to happen to her, you know, I don't know. That's something that I want to take a closer look at to make sure that people aren't unable to access help if they were to get the flu, get the virus. I mean,
right.
That, you know, you've been reading that. Mm-hmm.
Are those people that you're talking about people who haven't reached out to the village yet?
So they've reached out to me by way of the senior services. So they made the phone call there, and then that phone call came to me, and they need pharmacy, et cetera. But I guess it was surprising to me, honestly, as someone who spent a lot of time in this area, is the number of people I'm finding that are living alone. I'm actually a little bit surprised by that. At their age, that they're still managing on their own.
Yeah.
So I think that we probably have more people living on their own than we realize.
Yeah.
So Helen, this is Patty. So again, to kind of clarify, these folks you're talking to, they called in for receiving the letter, but they're not necessarily getting ongoing services through the township. Is that your concern, that they're not already identified as? Yeah.
Right. So what I do is I've been calling back the intake people and asking them, I said, is, you know, for example, Ruth, you know, in your system already? Because she sounds like someone to me that needs to have a daily well check. because right. she's quite elderly and is by herself and was complaining of diarrhea, you know, et cetera. So I'm going to see if I can, you know, in coordination with the guys, do something else. We definitely have daily well checks on people.
And it's a great idea. And I think the closer we work with the township on these issues, yeah. I think the better off we will be. And as Erica said, you know, I think it's you know, behooves us to check in on our neighbors and those yeah. we know that may be living alone. Yeah. So thanks. All right.
Well, I'll stay on. Comes up with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Helen. And we really appreciate all your work and your efforts. Good job. Thank you so much. I think the timing couldn't have been better in terms of putting your group together and the volunteers. So thank you. Any further questions for Helen?
I just wanted to add real quickly, Kathy, so everyone knows that what we're also working on that has grown from this is our mask making.
Yeah.
And we have about 300 homemade masks that I could say that I've inventoried probably as of today. And those will be distributed. I already have started distributing them to our volunteers.
Great.
But I would also want to see that our seniors get those masks as well. They shouldn't really be leaving their home, but some of them have asked for them. So that's something I'm going to be working on, is make sure the masks get to the seniors, our volunteers, and other members of our community that are at risk, as well as, of course, any medical professionals. But like I said, that's always the mask of last resort. But if they were to need them, they would be available as well.
Yes, and in the e-newsletter that went out today, we made sure, if you haven't read it yet, go ahead and read it. It's got a nice piece, three paragraphs of work that you're doing, both from the senior program, mm-hmm. The greeting card idea, and then, of course, the volunteer work of making masks and finding supplies and getting the pump bottles for the hand sanitizer and so forth. So hopefully people read the newsletter and continue to help volunteer in that basis. So good.
Sounds good. If you guys have any questions, feel free to call me.
Awesome. Thank you, Helen. You're more than welcome to stay on, but you can drop off as well whenever you want.
Thanks, Kat.
Thanks, Helen.
Thanks, Helen.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to bring us to the elected official comments and announcements. And this is kind of odd, but I'm going to start from the top. Bob O'Connell, if you don't mind starting, and then we'll go to Russ. We'll come around the horn. I'll tell you who's up next. So, Bob, any citizens' comments and announcements you want?
Well, a citizen and an elected official comment. I know everybody's kind of reaching out to the people in the community. I just wanted to reach out to the healthcare professionals. You know, there's lots of them out there in our community, and just, you know, congratulations and thank you for the job that you're doing. We couldn't do it without you. So, but that's all I got, Kat.
Okay, thank you, Bob. Russ, you're up on the top, so do you mind?
Oh, thank you. What I'd like to say is basically it's going to be a big thank you. I joined Bob as well in thanking all of our first responders, all our medical healthcare providers, as well as our public safety staff, namely our police and fire departments, for helping us through this pandemic. Second, I want to thank the volunteers, particularly spearheaded by Helen Kwan, who are providing assistance to our seniors and disabled residents through our Senior Citizen Response Program. Then third, I also want to thank our businesses who have been cooperating and working with the village and serving the seniors and disabled residents during this time. Fourth, I want to thank the village staff and the village president who stepped up during this challenging time in coordinating all these efforts with all the teams that are participating in this. And last but not least, I want to thank the village residents for their patience, understanding, and cooperation in keeping apprised of updated information relating to this pandemic, as well as complying with all of the advice and directions given by the CDC, our health experts, as well as our federal, state, and local governments. Thank you all.
Okay. Thank you, Russ, and thank you for those kind words. Patty, you're up on the next level, so can I call on you, Patty?
Sure. Russ had such a thorough list that I'll just echo what he said. Certainly, thank you to everyone he mentioned. I will say, from the resident perspective, one thing I've really enjoyed seeing on Facebook are the various ways that people are doing some creative connecting, creative ways to help the children in our community get through this, whether it's posting things in the windows to do like a shamrock hunt or animal hunts, or whether it's nice messages on the sidewalk that are being written in chalk different places. I think it's great how people have been trying to support each other and the various ways that they're expressing that support and trying to get that out there. But especially, as Rez said, everybody else who's stepping up and doing some amazing work out of the ordinary, getting creative. So thank you, everyone.
Okay. Thanks, Patty. Okay, Tom, you're... Oh, no, sorry. Wait. Go ahead, Tom. I'll let you, and then I'll call on you, Kevin.
Oh, I just... Rez stole my list.
Oh, Rez told your list, for God's sake. Okay.
I do just a special thank you to everyone. As Eric said, everyone is necessary, but I especially want to thank the first responders, the police and firemen, who oftentimes are going into these situations without knowing if the person they're dealing with has the disease. We usually get to the hospital, hopefully, the medical professionals have PPE stuff, but oftentimes our police and fire encounter people that they don't know for sure. And so, especially Brad, you know, every day they do a brave job, but I think this is especially an instance where our gratitude is required.
Thank you, Tom. I'm going to go back to Kathleen for now before I get to Erica.
Thank you, Kathleen. Not to worry. I just want to echo what everyone's already said. It's an extraordinary time, and we're fortunate that we work with this extraordinary people and live in an extraordinary community, and everyone's really living up to beyond expectations, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, Kathleen. Erica?
So I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. And so as we begin today, we are mindful that we hold this meeting on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, and the Potawatomi nations, and more. And we remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And I think that the board can't say it enough. Thank you so much to the first responders, to the medical professionals who are helping us every day. Thank you to all of those workers who are sustaining all of us, whether it's the restaurants by delivering food to us, the grocery stores, the logistics, the truck drivers, everyone who is in one way or another putting themselves out there to make sure that our community and the nation is safe. So thank you to everyone for that. And I think we'll probably hear this more and more again tonight, but I do just want to reiterate that everyone does need to do their part to save lives and to stay at home and keep your social distance. And if we do this, we can flatten the curve in Illinois and in River Forest in our community. And we can keep our hospitals and healthcare providers from being overwhelmed. And I do want to thank also the volunteer groups and the area individuals for their support of our community and our local healthcare providers. That includes Helen Kwan, the township, but also in particular individuals who belong to an area group called Oak Park Working Moms, who have delivered meals to over 1,000 hospital employees, including West Suburban Hospital. And that hospital actually received treats from River Forest Chocolate. So a big thank you to them. And as Patty mentioned, I think that people are banding together to figure out ways how they can help each other. So really just so impressed by everyone who is doing that kind of work on their own. I do want to also talk about the census. So we are here April 1st is Census Day, and that's 2 days away. And hopefully everybody is filling out their census form online. The census did come out with a statement. John, you might be able to speak a little bit more to this, but the statement that they provided as of March 27th talks about temporarily suspending in-person interviews for ongoing surveys because they have been monitoring closely the situation and will continue to do everything they can to protect the health and safety of the public and their employees. So they are adhering to social distance guidance from federal, state, and local public health authorities. And the Census Bureau has modified all of its delayed data collection protocols to eliminate personal visits. Where feasible, census field workers will call survey participants to seek and collect the necessary information over the phone. So many of these surveys have been conducted without interruption for 50 years or more when it comes to the census. The census does form the bedrock of our nation's statistical system with this 10-year census. And so they are encouraging everyone, in particular in these surveys, if they are contacted, to please respond, especially now. It's so important because these surveys will actually help accurately measure the impact of the coronavirus. So if you haven't filled out your survey yet, or if you have any questions, please go to 2020census.gov. Yeah. And John, thank you again for all your help as we work through how to manage getting everyone to fill out their census. And I don't know if you have any other updates, but I believe you were on a call today that might have provided some more information.
Yeah, thanks, Erica. So far, the census has delayed basically all of their in-person activities by 2 weeks and will continue to delay those week by week as necessary. However, everybody in River Forest that has access to a telephone or the internet can complete the census today and should complete it as soon as possible. Like Erica said, 2020census.gov is where you need to go. You should have received a code in the mail, but even if you don't have that code, you can still complete it. So go out and fill it out today. For those of you that have done it, you know how easy it is. It takes just a few minutes and you should complete it today. On Wednesday for Census Day, although it won't be quite the Census Day that we originally had planned, President Ducey is gonna be sending out a special e-newsletter that is fully geared toward the census along with social media posts and things like that. So please continue to share those with your neighbors. And River Forest, 47% responded so far. That's great. That continues to day in and day out as that gets updated, continues to lead Cook County and the state of Illinois in response rates. But we still got a long way to go. Our 2010 response rate was 79%, and we'd love to see it up above that. So we'll continue to do a great job. Thanks for everybody who has responded, and keep spreading the good word.
Thanks, John. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Erica.
What's the final deadline, or that may even change now with this virus, but when was the last date that someone could
April 1st.
Fill out their form?
Yes, that's a great question. So the self-response date previously was up until July 31st, and that's been delayed till August 14th. However, the date that we really want people to be aware of is that previously May 13th, now May 28th, is the day that door-to-door responders will start coming and knocking on your door and looking for you to complete the census or seeing what assistance you need to complete the census. Obviously, especially in the climate, we want to try to limit that as much as possible. So getting it in before, especially before May 1, will keep you off those lists of the door-to-door, and obviously those are subject to continue to change. But no better time than the present to go ahead and fill that out.
Was there a thought or plan to have some sort of like thermometer showing the percentage of response, or even comparing it side by side to 10 years ago and say, let's surpass that number? It's kind of a nice visual, especially on Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely. We can start to broadcast that out. The Cook County Census, the Federal Census page just started recording those on the 20th, and so they've been getting to the point where they're updated daily now, which is helpful. They lag about a day behind, and we can start to broadcast that out in terms of trying to motivate people to chase down that goal. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
People like that competitive edge.
Who's that? Hello?
John, 79% in 2010. Was that the total number of people surveyed, or the total number before the individual, the census takers made their walks around?
I'm not sure I caught that, Tom. I'm sorry.
The 79% from 2010 of River Foresters that responded, was that the total response, or was that the response before the census takers made the door-to-door contact?
That's right. The self-response rate.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Patty, about the visual. I think we should consider that, Erica and John, because I think visuals do make a difference. So thanks for that suggestion. Okay.
Well, so many people like that are competitive.
Huh? Oh, competitive.
It's a competitive edge, too, like compared to other towns. And
yeah. No, it's good.
Motivates people.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Trustee Brennan.
I would just like to reiterate the thanks that have already been expressed for our healthcare workers, our first responders, village staff, residents who are out there offering services while the rest of us are hunkering down. And thank those of us who are hunkering down as well. We're doing our part. And I'd also like to do a little ask on behalf of Helen for some things that her volunteers are looking for, including pipe cleaners for making face masks, the empty 2 to 6 ounce spray bottles that they can fill with hand sanitizer and give to our volunteers and to our seniors or those who are most vulnerable. And then filters and HEPA vacuum bags that are being used for some of the face masks as inserts. So I know it's already in the e-newsletter, but it doesn't hurt to put it, broadcast it in as many types of media as possible. And those who want to volunteer and haven't offered already, the email is rfseniorhelp@gmail.com. And that goes to Helen. And then we also have a Facebook page to help those who are sewing the masks, and that is RF Victory Mask Brigade on Facebook.
Katie, pipe cleaners, an old-timey pipe cleaner, like what you would use to clean on a tobacco pipe?
Yes, that works. That's sewn into a channel on one side of it, and then once the mask is put on, then you press it against your face to make the seal.
Okay.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Katie. All right. So, whew, I don't know. Let's see. We started March 9th, and that was a somewhat calm board meeting. We really didn't talk about coronavirus. And then on the 16th, we were in somewhat of an emergency mode. And here we are the 30th, just 2 weeks after the 16th. And I can't... I've got a litany, which I won't bore you all with, of the things that our incredible village staff and others, volunteers, have done and rallied behind to get us, back in operation and continue in operation. It's emotional at this point for me. Let me just name a few, right? We talked about the senior program. Staff put that in immediately on the 16th, and Helen and her team and others, along with a lot of you trustees, have helped build this volunteer team, and it is nothing but a miracle what has happened. And I'm just so proud of our town and everybody involved. Taxing bodies have been just tremendous, everybody, D90, D200, the township, the library, everybody has come together to work on behalf of ensuring that we stay safe, and we are doing what not only the governor is saying, but what we all are trying to be like, so that we could save lives. Again, the staff putting together the e-newsletters along with myself, writing them and trying to get it right every day. It's just been I've been enormously grateful for everybody. The robocalls that have gone out, the one robocall, and we'll have more as we go along. They are effective, especially for those seniors who have landlines and not, it's cell phone or internet. We're going to send out another report tomorrow indicating a new kind of database that came out of Cook County Public Health Department. We knew a little bit about it on Friday, but it was unstable and not quite given to us officially. And this is database of those that tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. We will be sending that link out tomorrow, so that residents and anybody could, hover around the town, and they'll see how many positive COVID-19 residents are. Currently, to the state. We have 5 in River Forest. We did talk a little bit about, I think, Russ and maybe Tom, about ensuring that our first responders get that information. We are currently trying to secure that with the state's attorney and the Department of Cook County of Public Health. We have not completed that yet. We are working, all of us, the Mayor's Caucus, the IML, are working very hard to ensure that we get the appropriate information that we need for our first responders so that we keep our first responders safe. As you can imagine, this has been somewhat of a completely uncharted water. I can't tell you how well I think our town has rallied, along with our communities that surround us, Oak Park, Forest Park. We have been on Wednesday, every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, Eric and I get on a call with the mayor of Oak Park and the mayor of Forest Park and all of their team, and we share data and information. And it's been really a great experience for all of us, and it's kept us all as one community. I think as Governor Pritzker and other mayors have said, and I will say, we are not out of the woods at all. And this is no new news. I mean, we know the news. We will probably see more positive diagnosed COVID-19 in our community. And I think we're prepared with the proper volunteers and the proper administration and the proper operations to help and assist our residents and our neighbors. So I'm confident we've done all the right things. I won't go through, for the purposes of brevity, what we continue to send out, but I will say, and I think Erica, the campaign of stay home, save lives couldn't be so more important than now. If we can keep people out of the hospital, I am confident that it will save many more lives that actually need the medical attention. So please adhere to not only the governor's orders, but you know, our request to stay home, be safe, abide by the social distancing orders. It works. Okay, that's all I have. You'll see more information come out as the days go on. So with that, I am going to go ahead and ask for a motion to move for the consent agenda. Item 5A8K. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Motion to approve the consent agenda, items A through K.
Second.
Okay. Any comments or questions on it? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll. The vote.
I'm going to read it into the
record.
Yes, and
you need
and
to
then,
read it. Yes, please.
Consent agenda, item A, regular village board meeting minutes, March 9th, 2020. B, executive session village board meeting minutes, March 9th, 2020. C, special village board meeting minutes, March 16th, 2020. D, award of contract and bid to Davis Tree Care and Landscaping for the 2020 tree trimming program in an award not to exceed amount of $48,000. E, award of contract and bid to Home Tree Care for the 2020 tree and stump removal program in a not to exceed amount of $44,000. F, waiver of formal bids and award of purchase through the Suburban Purchasing Cooperative of a 2020 Ford Interceptor Utility Police Patrol vehicle from El Pamani Ford for $35,120. G, amendment to intergovernmental agreement with Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services regarding ground emergency medical transport program. H, letter to congressional representatives regarding postal workers during COVID-19 pandemic. I, monthly performance measurement report. J, financial report, February 2020. K, village administrator's report. Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, so moving on to item 7. This is the recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. If I can get a motion for 7A, this is the replacement for Mark Walsh on the Fire and Police Commission.
I move that we concur with the recommendation of the village president to appoint Julie Jacobs to the Walsh vacancy through April 30th, 2020, and reappointed through April 30th, 2023.
Can I hear a second? Who second?
I second.
Okay, Tom. All right. Julie Jacobs is, I think you all have her resume. She has a long history in human resources. And the Fire and Police Commission does quite a bit of hiring and firing. That's the commission's role for us here in the village. And as you know, Mark Walsh passed away suddenly a month ago, and it's only a three commission by municipal code, and so we want to fill that position right away. If you have any questions, I try to get Julie on the call, but because this is such a unusual situation, she wasn't able to make it. So hearing no any questions regarding Julie, if hearing none, then I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Vasquez.
He's muted.
Muted.
Sorry, yes. Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes, I do know Julie, and I think she would be a good addition.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yeah.
Motion passed.
Very good. Thank you. All right, so item 7B, this is the completion of the Deer Management Ad Hoc Committee appointment. I'd like to get a motion and a second, and we can go through MARTA if you'd like.
I move the recommendation of the village president to appoint MARTA Kosber to the Deer Management Ad Hoc Committee to serve until the committee is dissolved.
Second.
I think you all know MARTA. She's been here quite a few occasions. I did talk to MARTA. Of course, it's a week and a half ago by now, and she was very pleased to serve. So, any questions or comments on MARTA? Hearing none, I ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to 7C. This is a text amendment that went through the Zoning Board of Approvals for a special use on a massage therapy. So if I can get a motion and a second, and we can discuss it.
I move to approve an ordinance amending the Village of River Forest zoning ordinance regarding massage therapy establishments.
Second.
Okay. Eric, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to it. It's pretty, I think, pretty self-explanatory.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
So,
anybody have questions on it? And basically, massage parlors are permitted use, and we wanted to move them to more a special use so that we, the board, had a particular say on what kind of massage therapy establishments came into our community. That's what this is. It's changing it from permitted to special use. Okay, hearing none, let's go ahead and then we'll take a vote.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We have no, let's see, new business, which isn't on, must be on the other side. Okay. This is the adopting and the approval. Well, if I can get a motion in a second, then we can go through the, we could go through each of the executive orders, or we can talk about the general executive orders if you like.
I move that we approve an ordinance adopting and approving relief from the Village of River Forest Village Code in Executive Orders 20-01 and 20-02 issued by the village president under a declaration of a state of emergency.
Second.
Okay. So 2001 was the operations of delivering food earlier to the grocery establishments. I'm not quite sure if maybe Eric is, our stores using those expanded hours or earlier hours?
I don't know either way.
All right. All right. But it's there for their use, meaning they can go, you know, those stores can accept delivery beyond the normal hours that we have in our code. The 2002, that was, and again, I didn't mention it in my remarks because I knew we were going to talk about it here. This was, I think, an important step. We've been considered ahead of the curve on this by the Illinois Municipal League, and they thought we did a very nice job of being, you know, proactive with our community, showing that we care. We understand everyone's in a stress mode, and for our both our residents, our businesses, and the community at large. I think I've now published it two or three times in the newsletter. It's fairly somewhat straightforward, but I'd be happy to take any questions. But I have to give the kudos to Eric and his team. They really spent quite a bit of time and energy going through each of the areas of operations in the village, taking into account, of course, our budget, taking into our account, you know, the things that could impact our community most in a positive way. And I think this list is a great list, and I think it's going to go a long way. And residents have already commented on, you know, thank you for some of this help. So if there's any particular questions on it, we'd be happy to answer it.
I'm fine with everything in 2002. The only, again, I mentioned this to you before, I think the end date should either be May 31st or when the governor ends the declaration of emergency in Illinois. If everything goes back to normal before May 31st, we are losing revenue. I mean, let's be honest. And so I don't know that we should just basically give a tax holiday if there's no reason for it.
Well, I respectfully disagree. I think, first of all, we don't know what we don't know. I mean, we've already, you know, have an already a 30-day. It's going to appear to be a 30-day extension until April 30th. The President of the United States has already mentioned that, and the governor has alluded to that. And so there's no doubt that it could go longer. But even if it didn't go longer, I'm pretty convinced that this is trying to help our businesses and residents. And just because the stay-at-home has been lifted doesn't mean that the pain is still not there, and the ability to pay is still not there. And I think the revenue, and Eric, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but the revenue is so small compared to the benefit to our community and to our businesses, frankly. That's my point.
And Kathy, if I can add, this is Russ. The other thing I want to add for Tom is that, Tom, from what I'm hearing as part of the education field, is that I think there's already rumors, and I would say they're probably strong rumors, that the schools are going to be closed till the end of May and probably early June. I mean, at the community college level, I know we're already being asked, are we prepared to do the online or e-learning for the rest of the semester? So, unfortunately, as sad as this sounds, I think this is going to go on until the end of May and beginning of June.
And obviously, if the emergency is extended, I'm fine with extending these deadlines. I'm just saying, if I made my point.
Yeah, I think Tom is saying if the governor or the president says it's over, stay at home
is
over.
The governor.
Or the governor. Then we should, you know, release our relief period. And I'm saying, I think people are still suffering, even though it ends on April 30th. I think they still, you know, need a little bit of help from us. And so 30 days isn't going to break us. So that's my vote. Any comments, other particular comments? Okay. Hearing none, I would ask, the clerk to take vote, please.
Wait, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was muted, but I was trying to ask a question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead, Katie.
Unrelated to Tom's question, I'm just asking for some clarification on the overnight parking in the streets. I've had one resident ask, it wasn't clear to him whether it was the permission is given for 3 nights or for 30 nights and what residents are specifically supposed to be doing.
Good question, but I'm going to let Eric.
Right. So the answer to that is we still need people who want to park. We still want to know what cars are parking on the street overnight, and we want to grant those requests. And we can do that on our new online platform, and we will grant those requests up to 30 days if they need that particular if they have that particular hardship or need. But we didn't want to grant a blanket waiver at all. We still want to have some control over that to know who those cars are, make sure they're either residents or people that are tied in to residents who may have a specific concern or need. But it's 30 days right now.
Okay, so just to be clear, those residents should be going online or calling the non-emergency police number up to 30 consecutive times if they're going to have a car parked in the street.
No.
You can't just do it once and say we want it for 30 days, can you?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. No, Jim? They have to call 30 times?
No.
No.
After you've gone past your 3-day period, what it's allowing you to do is override the 3-day period.
Okay.
And you will not be denied being able to park. There are other ways that some of the administrative staff have. Program itself doesn't allow for a full blanket 30 days.
Okay.
We are working still with the programmer on that to see if something can be changed.
Okay, so right now if you called in though, could you put it in for
the dispatch supervisors or our administrative staff during the day should be able to enter that for them.
Okay, so I'm with Katie now. I'm a bit confused. So every third day, if I'm saying my daughter stays and she's going to park outside, every third day she needs to call in and say, I'm going to be parking on the street.
From my understanding, the way the program's written is that after the third day, after you call in for you can call in for 3 days total, but after the third day, now on the fourth day, you need to call the fifth day, you need to call the sixth day, out to 30. And that's just how the program is. We're trying to work around that through the dispatch supervisors being able to override it, and also our records supervisor. Okay. And that is still a work in progress as of today.
So we need to get that figured out. So the intent, though, is that you would get up to 30 days and not have to. That was the intent, that you would have to you would have to check in for 30 days. So we've got a little work to do on that, but the goal is that you wouldn't have to check in.
That's what I thought it was.
So did I.
To be honest with you. So we need to correct that.
Yeah, we'll fix it. We'll figure it out.
So until
that's fixed, people should still be calling in every day.
You can get a 3-day right now. If you go online, you can get up to 3 days. So it would be every third day.
No, I think
that's not. He said third
every,
day.
The third
and
day
then
you think
fourth,
the
fifth,
fourth,
sixth,
the
fifth, the system
sixth,
won't let
up
you
till
do
30
that.
Days.
You only get one 3-day.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So it's in every day after that.
Yeah,
got
we
it.
Gotta
okay.
fix it.
Yeah. No. Well, Trustee Brennan, it's a good question. We'll fix it. But the goal is to.
I'll have an update in 2 minutes here.
All right. Well, we got to make sure that it's understood by our residents, not just us, too. Okay. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Eric, how does the plan development permit extension impact Lake and Lathrop and the redevelopment agreement? Just wondering.
How does the permit extension – so what we have granted is for variations in building people with building permits, any plan development would still be considered on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, that's what it says here, that you would have by
right.
I don't think anything, right? I mean, has
no.
anybody came in? No. Okay.
Any plan development, Chicago and Harlem, Lake and Lathrop, those are our two main active PDs with in progress.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions, comments? Hearing none, if I can ask you, please take the vote.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Cargi?
Yes.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, I might, you know, should I do it now? Just to add it?
Yeah, if you just want to mention it to the board.
Okay, okay, very good. Thank you for passing that. And also, as part of the discussion we had back in March, whatever, the 16th, when we started the emergency, state of emergency, as we talked about, we would allow the state of emergency to happen up until the special and or regular board meeting. And so the understanding, and we verified this with our village attorney, and you might want to chime in here, as the declaration would be signed again for the another 2 weeks until we meet again on the 13th of April, continuing the state of emergency. So did I say that right?
Yes, that's correct.
So I just want to make sure everybody understood that the declaration will be signed again for the next 2 weeks, and then the executive orders, if there are any, which I don't envision at this point in time, but we never know in the next 2 weeks what might happen, that those, of course, executive orders would come to you for your vote. Okay, any other comments or questions? Hearing none, 8 o'clock. Okay, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
There's no executive agenda?
I don't think so.
No.
No, I thought there was.
No, sorry, Tom. Nope. No.
I move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Can we do a voice vote?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay. Meaning-